Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to another episode of The Writer's Block, the first episode of The Writer's Block for the 2024 regular season. Coming here to you this Tuesday morning after a glorious Dallas Cowboys win, the first of many. I am your host, David Howman, joined by the icebreaker himself, Brandon Clements. Our other co-host, Chris Holling, is not here this week. I assume he partied a little too hard after watching Jalen Brooks catch a pass in the regular season. So he's out this week. He will be back next week. But Brandon, Cowboys 1-0, great win. Before we get into all that, though, I was going to say this before we learned that Chris wouldn't be on the show this week. And I was going to say, I'm going to do it anyway, is raise your hand if your college football team is undefeated week two. And for those who are not watching and are just listening, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, both Brandon and I raised our hands. Chris wouldn't have raised his hand even if he was here because, yeah. You know, Clemson is, as we all know, Clemson is the worst of the three teams that we all root for here.
Of course.
In college.
Naturally speaking.
Syracuse, of course, beat Georgia Tech, who was ranked. They did not get into the poll this week, but they did receive votes, which is huge. Arizona State, my alma mater, also won. We beat Mississippi State. First time in program history we've beaten SEC team, which I think, you know, watch out, Alabama.
Let off the gas a little bit. But hey, congratulations to Arizona State. I will give you props there. Yeah, I see Kyle McCord, Syracuse quarterback. You know, he's already getting the Heisman talk. I know we've talked about that, plenty of times, during the offseason. So it's not really a surprise that I'm so far so good. It's only 2 weeks in, but Kyle McCord is a gift from the Buckeyes. So as Fran Brown would say, we're going to send some champagne to Ohio State. So thank you for Kyle McCord. And with that, it was a good all-around weekend. Syracuse played good, and what we're here to talk about today is a great Cowboys victory this past weekend.
Yeah, and it was a great game. Before we move on past the college football stuff, because you mentioned Kyle McCord, which I'm just going to chalk that up to, you know, you already had your Trey Lance moment. That obviously didn't go, completely well. Now you're latching on to Kyle McCord. Of course, it was Arizona State's running back, Cameron Scadaboo, who was named the AP Player of the Week for the entire nation. So I'm just going to hang my hat on that. I don't care what else happens the rest of the year. It's been a great year for Arizona State. I'm going to claim a national championship right now. And then really just focus the rest of my time on the Dallas Cowboys because, Brandon, it looks like we got a squad. Like, this was a fun game. I was very nervous going into this one. Most of the week leading up to it, I kind of – felt like and emotionally was getting ready for a loss. I just kind of felt like, the Browns are a really good rushing team. They have a really great pass rush. Defense was one of the, top two back and forth with the Ravens all last year. Cowboys have two rookies on the offensive line. Run defense last year was not good. Who knew how good it was going to be under Mike Zimmer? Not a problem. Like, Dak got sacked a couple of times, but he wasn't under constant duress. It wasn't really much of a problem. The run game didn't get going for Cleveland, partially because they had to throw the ball so much. And
yeah,
Deshaun Watson is garbage when he throws the ball. So that worked out for Dallas. But
yeah,
I don't know. Where were you? How surprised were you by this outcome? Were you like expecting the worst, or were you one of the people that, by the way, I ended up predicting them to win by the time we came to the actual Sunday game. But I did not feel confident about it. Where were you at?
So I'll preface this, and I'll make sure my nephew, I'll make sure he checks this out. I know he checks out the show. He's a Cleveland Browns fan. And we do a Sunday morning breakfast at my folks' place. We try to do it every Sunday. It's like a family tradition thing. And he was already talking just talking smack. He's a, 15-year-old kid. Just, you know how they are. They're mouthy as teenagers anyway. So, so I had to put him in his place. And I literally said to him, I said, buddy, your two tackles are going to be out. Micah Parsons and that pass rush are going to be feasting. and y'all are going to get blown out. And I was right on both accounts. I was not, you know, and again, I'm not trying to do this as a homer, but I just felt that confident in the Cowboys and knowing the situation of the offensive line for Cleveland and knowing what we have in Dallas on defense with Coach Zim and the, you know, and the crew there. I was not surprised by this. I think Deshaun Watson, you know, I think they can't get their money back for that $200+ million contract. I think he had 230 guaranteed. So Dak just broke that by $1 million. I think we're already getting the better return on the investment, and he just got the contract. So I wasn't surprised by it one bit. It was a great performance, all three facets of the game, dude. Like obviously you look at the box score and you're like, all right, Dak did pass for, you know, 200 yards and blah, blah, blah. And the, you know, it Zeke had only 40 yards, but if you take the box score out of it, watching the game, I knew the Cowboys were going to win from the get-go. They look like a superior football team. They look like a team for me that, you know, as long as they keep that going, they're going to pick up where they left off and take it further by making a deeper run in the playoffs. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves or ahead of the skis here. We're in week one, going into week two here. So I'm excited, not surprised. I'm on to the next game.
I think that's fair. It was exciting to see, especially after this preseason, like, you know, Mike Zimmer's defense, you know, we talked about it after each preseason game, like defense looks good, but also we haven't seen Micah. We haven't seen Trayvon Diggs. Like, you know, what's it going to look like once it actually gets put together and against an offense that on paper should be good? I mean, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach and offensive play caller, 2-time coach of the year winner. He took this Browns team to the playoffs last year without Nick Chubb, with Joe Flacco falling asleep on the sidelines in between offensive possessions. And, you know, the reigning defensive player of the year in Myles Garrett, even though it should have been Micah Parsons.
Agreed.
I mean, this was not necessarily like the Browns are kind of one of those odd teams where it's like, nobody really expected them to like be great this year. Like, they're not a popular playoff pick, but also people wouldn't have been surprised if they end up making the playoffs because they do have the talent.
Yes.
But so for the Cowboys to come in and dominate the way that they did in this one, I think that was a little bit of not really a surprise, but you know, you shouldn't take it lightly. And especially like the offense did not have their best day. Dak Prescott was not the best game that he's had by far. But also, like, again, Myles Garrett, you've got Denzel Ward at corner. They also have Za'Darius Smith rushing off the other side. This game plan was very much the way Mike McCarthy called it, especially with two rookie offensive linemen making their NFL debuts, with it being on the road, with it being the first time Dak has actually played this season because he didn't take any preseason reps. It was a very conservative game plan. They didn't take a whole lot of deep shots. They were running the ball a lot. They were throwing a lot of quick screens, a lot of quick passes. And they got the job done. It was not a masterclass. Mike McCarthy wasn't in his bag, but they did what they needed to do. And alluded to as well, not only did they do what they needed to do on the field, they did what they needed to do with the front office signing Dak Prescott to his contract extension.
Yes.
And they did that like a few hours before the game kicked off and finally got it taken care of. The 11th hour, the 59th minute, and of course he's going to be sticking around for 4 more years, $240 million, first quarterback to get $60 million a year annual average value. I think it's like $231 million of that is guaranteed, which, man, good money if you can make that.
Here's my only tip with that. Why not just give him the other 9 guaranteed?
they have to hedge against their, like, what if they need that $9 million?
I guess. Yeah. I saw the final numbers. I'm like, why don't we just give him the whole thing? It's Dak Prescott. Yeah. You know what? And the salary cap is going to keep moving up. So I feel like, I just can't believe there's some people out there that are like, they're hating this deal. I think the Cowboys, could they have gotten maybe 55, you know, prior to this? Sure. But you know what? at the end of the day, you're locking up your franchise quarterback, you know, for the next four, you know, the, you know, the, until what, 2028, I believe it is. So, you know, he's locked in. He's locked in for the foreseeable future. And he's still going to have prime years ahead because let's not forget, he's in his early 30s still. Like, he's still relatively young in NFL, in an NFL sense. So he has some good years ahead of him. And again, the salary cap's going to go up and quarterback contracts are going to go up. So yeah, Dak might be the highest, you know, highest paid, you know, highest guaranteed, whatever analogy number you want to put out there, it's going to change soon enough. Somebody else is going to get the next big deal. And over time, that deal is not going to be that big of a deal. It's not going to be that big of a deal, I guess, you know, going down the line, because other quarterbacks are going to get more than him at some point. So it'll be somewhat of a discount when it gets, I'd say 2 years into that deal, he's not going to be the highest paid quarterback. He might be in maybe fifth or sixth at that point, because you know other quarterbacks are going to get their bag, you know, not only their bag, but they're going to get a couple extra bags, maybe a Brinks truck. They're going to get the whole thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was talking to one of my coworkers this morning, actually, or yesterday morning, since we're talking on Tuesday, recording Monday night, of course. He kind of said to me, he's like, I don't have a problem with paying Dak. Like, your Cowboys got to keep him. He's a good quarterback. It's just crazy to see someone making $60 million a year. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, a couple of years from now, three more quarterbacks get extensions. It's not even going to be top five anymore in terms of the average salary. Like, that's just the way things go. This happened the last time that they gave Dak his deal. It was like he was the highest paid player. And then like 2 weeks later, I think it was Josh Allen signed his deal and it was no more. It was like, it didn't even last a full month with him as the highest paid quarterback.
Well, dude, here's the thing too. It's like when you combine it too, if you think about it too, between CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, you're spending almost $100 million, what, $94 million on an average annual basis. And here's the thing, $34 million for CeeDee Lamb just a few years ago was what quarterbacks were getting paid. So, like we're not only doing this with CeeDee Lamb or Dak Prescott, we're also doing this with CeeDee Lamb because other receivers are going to get more money. That's just the way the game works. And, you know, Tyreek Hill gets money. You're going to see Ja'Marr Chase is going to get a big bag soon enough. You know the Bengals are going to pay him. It's like, that's ridiculous why they wouldn't, obviously. Like, they're going to pay him. So it's one of those things where, yeah, for a time being, it's like, oh, my God, they got, like, the most expensive receiver and the most expensive quarterback. Yeah, for now. And then it's just going to change. And you know what? Let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of chatter about spending that kind of money on two particular players, like a quarterback and receiver. But when you have a lethal combination like Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, you lock them up and you lock them up for as long as you can. And as long as they're both good, it's going to be fine. Like, they're going to be good to go. This franchise is in great hands. Now the next step is, you know, we got to pay Micah. That's the next thing.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just the cost of doing business these days. Like,
yeah.
With the quarterback market, and now we're seeing it with the receiver market, it doesn't really – it's not about what are these guys worth. It's about what is the cost to keep these guys.
Exactly.
And you're not – you don't let Dak Prescott walk out the door. You don't let CeeDee Lamb walk out the door. That's the price to keep them. And yeah, they did. And I'm then a few hours later
– What do you think? What do you think? Any idea what Mike is getting? What do you think? Any idea?
A lot.
Yeah, I mean –
I don't even know.
He's not leaving Dallas.
What I do know is that the negotiations for that contract are also going to be just miserable and dragged out and take far too long.
But here's the thing: he does want to stay in Dallas. Like, there was he was on a recording today or yesterday, I believe. I think it was today it came out, where he wants to be in Dallas. Like, that's not like there's no question that he's going to stay. It's just how much and how long.
Yeah. And it'll get done. But after months and months of content, just like Dak, just like CD, another thing, just like all three of those guys, is they showed up, they stepped up, and they performed in this game.
Yes,
they and did. It was a pretty great game all the way around, so much so that when we were doing the pre-show and planning everything out for this next segment of stock up and stock down, I asked Brandon, like, who's your stock up? And he said, can I say everything?
It's true.
And I mean, I was like,
come on.
No, Brandon, you cannot. You have to, you have to make decisions. You have to commit to something.
Apparently.
So we got something out of him. I'll leave you in a little suspense on what he chose first, though, because I'm going with my player whose stock really rose in this game, and that's Jordan Lewis, the slot corner.
Great.
And I mean, I've been a fan of J.Lew for a while now, since he was drafted. Loved him at Michigan. He was just a scrappy corner.
Yep.
Loved that the Cowboys drafted him. Was just so upset that Chris Richard was a height supremacist and didn't want to play the short guy. He's been nothing but consistent since he got on the field for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the plan was for Deron Bland to be playing outside with Jordan Lewis in the slot this year. We know what happened with Bland. He's not available. Rookie Kalen Carson stepped in. I thought he played really well. He very well could have been stock up for me as well. But Jordan Lewis had himself a game. He reminded everybody just how good of a tackler he is. There were some plays he made where I was just like, honestly, I was a little shocked that it was Jordan Lewis, because I was like, that looks like that's the kind of tackle you expect from a linebacker, the way that he was wrapping guys up. So he didn't get any big plays, any turnovers necessarily, but Jordan Lewis had a very Jordan Lewis game, and I was happy to see it.
There was two plays that I can remember right off the top of my head. There was a play on the when you're watching on the screen, it was at the top of your screen. He blows up the blocker and pushes the blocker into his teammate, and the whole rest of the defense swarmed on the ball carry. And that's Jordan Lewis, and you just mentioned he's not the biggest guy. And speaking of that, there's a monster named David Njoku. Like, you stood next to him, he's just a big dude. Njoku, he's a monster. And Coach Zim trusts Jordan Lewis to make that big tackle on third down against Njoku, and guess what? He did, and he shut it down. Drive over. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Play.
Yeah.
I love J.Lew.
Great game. Great game from J.Lew.
Dude, here's the thing. I for years and years, we've been on different platforms together over the last few years, and I've always been a Jordan Lewis guy. He's always been my nickel. I've loved him since he was a third round pick out of Michigan, as you mentioned. I'm a big fan of his game, and I always have been. You know, he's had some injury issues over the last few years, but you know what? J.Lew looks fantastic. I'm glad to see him healthy, and I think he's a great fit for what Mike Zimmer's looking for right now. It's a beautiful setup.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see more of Jordan Lewis in this Mike Zimmer defense. Sticking with the Mike Zimmer defense, Brandon, who was stock up for you?
Well, in the beginning there, I said everybody. It's so hard to – Jordan Lewis, that's a great pick. Overshown, could have been another great pick. Trayvon Diggs made a pick, so he could have been the pick. There's so many choices. But for me, it's that pass rushing unit as a whole. That unit, Deshaun Watson couldn't do anything. I'm looking at the stat sheet. DeMarcus Lawrence had two sacks. Eric Kendricks had two sacks. Obviously, Micah had a sack. Tons of pressure. Overshown was in the mix. Everybody was in there.
That Overshown sack too. That's one of the plays where he just accelerated out of nowhere, and the closing speed is insane on that guy.
Dude, when I watched that video, and honestly, I probably watched it 50 times. I know it's like a short clip you can find online. I probably watched it 50 times today. It was so impressive because it was he got shot out of a cannon and just went over and just took Deshaun Watson, took him off his feet. I would like to see Overshown and Micah Parsons in a head-to-head race, because Overshown is very fast, and obviously we know Mike is very fast. And I'll tell you this right now, speaking of Micah, for example, I know everybody, calls him the lion. Here's the thing. His stat sheet, if you look at the box score, it's not going to, it maybe not jump off the page to some people. I'm sitting here looking at it, four tackles, three solo, one sack, one pass defended, which that was a big play, for the Eric Kendricks interception. But the little things that he does, it's like Micah takes care of his pride, so to speak, as the lion. And he, and like literally the way he plays, he helps his, like, Eric Kendricks does not get two sacks without Micah doing what Micah does. DeMarcus Lawrence does not get two sacks without Micah doing what Micah does. Like Micah Parsons, like he just, that's why he's the Lion. He, like, that's his defense. That's his pride, so to speak. And he's making everybody better because there's so much attention going to Micah Parsons where Tank Lawrence is still in his bag, still doing his thing. Eric Kendricks, same thing. Overshown's getting to show up. Like it's like, you know, and the best part about it is we're in week one and we're seeing what Mike Zimmer can do with the pieces that he has. And I'm excited. Like this defense looks fantastic. Kalen Carson could have been a stock up as well. Kalen Carson, to me, the way he puts his foot in the ground and like goes after it, whether it's a tackle or a ball, like that kid's got all world ability. Like I love his confidence. I mean, I think his social media handle's at Walking Seatbelt. So like, you know, he's a confident guy, but dude, the way he jumped that route, I mean, he didn't make the interception, but the way he was jumping routes against a guy like Amari Cooper, like that tells me everything I need to know about Kalen Carson. He played a hell of a game as well. So the defense as a whole was great. But if I, you know, since I had, you know, you forced me to do it, the pass rush, it all starts up front. The pass rush did a hell of a job.
Yeah. Kalen Carson wears the number 21 well for a corner. Of course, that carries with it high expectations. Kalen Carson had a better week on the field than the actual Cowboys legendary 21 had this past weekend. We don't have to talk about all that. But, the crazy thing about this pass rush, though, they had six sacks, and like they could have had way more. How many times did we see Deshaun Watson breaking out of a sack here?
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly say like, oh, a million, but it felt like it. It felt like it because he was running for his life all game, and that's the thing. Like when he was scrambling, like, and I'm looking here at the stat sheet, like, you know, looking at the box score, like he carried the ball. Let's see, he carried the ball five times for 39 yards. He averaged almost 8 yards a carry, so to speak. And that's just because he had to. He had nowhere to go. Like, he got forced out of the pocket, and our corners were doing a heck of a job in coverage. He's like, well, I got to go get some yards. I mean, that's what he did. And that's what the pass rush does. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're missing Sam Williams, obviously. But, you know, I got to tell you, the pass rush looked good. I even thought our rookie, Marshawn Nealon, looked good. I think I'd like to see him do more speed rushing if I had to nitpick Marshawn a little bit. I felt like he was focusing too much on using his power in his reach. I would like to see him maybe get in his bag and watch Micah, because sometimes Micah just puts his foot in the ground and just speeds past people. And I think Marshawn Nealon can do that. So, like, if I had to nitpick on the pass rush, that would be it. But Marshawn Nealon, nothing against him. I think he had a heck of a game as well.
He had a heck of a game. I was gonna mention, he had the third most pressures on this Cowboys team. Yeah. He had five pressures. DeMarcus Lawrence was in second with seven. Heck of a game from him. And of course, Micah Parsons led the team. He had 11 pressures. That's the most. That's more pressures than any other player had in Week One. Pending Monday Night Football, we're recording this Monday night. Maybe Nick Bosa tops it. Probably not.
Sure.
But this team as a whole, 40 pressures in one game, 40 pressures. Like half the team had a pressure in this dang game. It was incredible. And, any concerns that the pass rush was not going to be as good as it was, you know, with Dan Quinn, like, no, like all due respect to Dan Quinn, but you know, it's the players. Mike Zimmer's got players. He knows how to scheme up pressure too. Pass rush is great. That's a great pick for stock up. Much better than just saying everybody, because you know,
but obviously it was a good deal. Everybody played well. Like it was hard. We do the stock up, stock down thing. You find somebody, you know, stock up, stock down.
Because you wanted to say everyone for stock up, I'm curious to hear who your stock down is. Surely you have a good answer.
Well, and we were talking in the pre-show, and it's, you know, and I jokingly say this, you know, people are going to take this out of context. You know, it's lighthearted here, you know, on the writer's block. So I have to give my stock down to Mike McCarthy, and it's only because He didn't let Brendan Aubrey kick it from 71. Like, I'm sitting there watching the game. Like, yeah, exactly. Not enough 71-yard field goals, as our great graphics coordinator David Hallman does there. 71 yards. I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, let him kick it, and then they don't. I'm like, oh, that was the only thing that made me mad the entire game, really. Like, I was just like, let him kick it. And the best part was, you know, the delay of game obviously went from 60, you know, the ball got moved back 5 yards. So it was 66, moved back to 71. And of course he banged it in from 66. Like, that was nothing. And at that point, I'm like, let him kick it from 71. And I say that half-hearted because Mike McCarthy was thinking smartly on it. Like, you don't want to give Cleveland any momentum on a potential, you know, kick six type of situation. I get that. But I, in weeks past, McCarthy has said Aubrey's good from 70, so why not 71? So that's my stock down. Again, Brendan Aubrey looked fantastic. I mean, even the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, was in awe of Brendan Aubrey's greatness as a kicker. So, you know, Aubrey's the best kicker in the league, and there's nobody else in the league. Justin Tucker has missed a field goal this week, so. Brandon Aubrey's the best kicker in the league.
My fantasy team knows that Justin Tucker missed a field goal. I lost because of that missed field goal. I should have had Brandon Aubrey.
And that's the thing. Like Brandon Aubrey to me is the best. He's the best kicker, not only in like fantasy football circles, which I know we both are aficionados at, but you know, but in real life, like he's when he kicks the ball from 66. It doesn't look like he's hurting. He's like, he's going all at it either. Like, he just kicks it. Like, he's just a natural soccer player that just knows how to kick a ball. And I just love the fact that he's our kicker.
And here's the thing is, like, this is in Cleveland. This is a stadium that's known for windy conditions.
Yeah.
Weird things happen on kicks, especially long kicks. There was more movement on one of his later field goals where it kind of wiggled around and then went in between.
Yeah.
That 66 yarder, like you said, he booted it. Like, he didn't even sweat. It looked like he was falling asleep as he was kicking it. It was just such a routine for him. It would have been fun to see him try the 71 yard field goal. Obviously, we both understand why Mike McCarthy didn't let him do that. It makes sense.
Yeah.
In my head, he made it.
Just do it.
So, I mean, that's a fair pick for stock down in a game like this, too, where just about everything went the Cowboys' way. My stock down was very easy, though. Stock down is Tom Brady.
Oh, come on.
What a boring announcer to listen to. Of course, everyone was hyping this up. Tom Brady was hyping it up. You didn't see the commercials where there's like 15 Tom Brady's talking to himself. And he's like, you're gonna be the best thing ever. Ugh. And like, they made such a big deal. I think they talked more about Tom Brady calling this game than they talked about the actual game in the week leading up to it. And all this hype, and he comes out and he's just boring.
He's
not fun to listen to. He offered no insight. There was so much silence in the game. I felt bad for Kevin Burkhardt because he was carrying them. He was carrying the broadcast the whole time. And especially when you demote Greg Olsen, who almost from the very jump was just like a natural at calling these games as the color commentator. Like, he can go in depth with you on things. He gives you like in-depth X's and O's, similar to Tony Romo. And he's just like excited. He's fun to listen to. And then Tom Brady's just like, oh yeah, Bill Belichick used to cuss me out. Doesn't elaborate beyond that. Like,
come on,
man. What?
Oh, and no.
He's got the next two Cowboys games, man. No, thank you. That was my stock down.
Oh, I have to strongly disagree. I know Chris would team up because I called him out on it on Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. Because he's in the same agreement with you. He's, you know, that's fine. I'm used to being in the minority with these things anyways, because I guess I go against the grain. That's kind of what that's my thing. I thoroughly enjoy
Usually it's
Tom
called
Brady.
Being wrong.
I enjoyed Tom Brady. I'm not a big Greg Olsen guy. I'm just not. Like, I, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to cite things, because when you cite, you know, cite your degrees and your experience, you're kind of come off as an a-hole. And I'm not, you know, I try not to do that stuff, but I never really cared for Greg Olsen. I just, you know, it's not, he's not really my cup of tea. I know a lot of people like him, and, you know, and that's fine. But I really, in that whole X's and O's thing, I was watching the game. Tom Brady was explaining things. He called things out as it was happening. That Micah Parsons tip, he was literally drawing it up on the screen about Micah Parsons. And what did Micah Parsons do? He does what Micah Parsons does. He makes a big play. Like, Tom Brady was calling.
All he did was circle Micah Parsons and say, "Hey, you got to watch out for this guy." Oh,
he's like, you know what he said?
Millions.
He's
like, a big play. Did they teach you that in Ann Arbor?
I enjoyed it. Like, he was calling out things. He was calling out the defense. He was analyzing it like Tony Romo, and I enjoyed that.
He was not.
Yes,
here's a quote from Tom Brady in this game that he was calling. It's hard to get 10 yards. A lot harder to get 20 yards.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Wow! Like, well, this, yeah, is earth-shattering news. Thank you, Thomas.
It's true.
Is that what $300 million worth of money gets you in broadcast these days?
Here's the thing.
Good Lord!
It was his first go around. Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not saying he was perfect, but like, I was talking to other people that agree with me actually on this, and they were like, "Yeah, I thought Tom did fine." Like, I don't know. I don't know why people like Greg Olsen. I he's probably a nice guy, but
because,
like,
he's good.
I don't think he's that great. I think he craps on the Cowboys. That was the thing that annoyed me. He always crapped on the Cowboys, and yet Cowboys fans were like, "Oh my God, Greg Olsen's the greatest commentator." No, he's not. He craps on the Cowboys every chance he got. Like, no.
When you know what I remember is Greg Olsen many times making the argument for why Dak Prescott is underrated as a quarterback. I remember him saying, I think he called the Packers game, and he was saying during the game, as they're getting completely destroyed, having their season dashed in shocking fashion, and he's saying, "Well, you can't fire Mike McCarthy. Like, he's too good of a coach, and what are you going to get to replace him?" Like, he was arguing in favor of the Cowboys, and you know what? They did exactly what he said that they should be doing.
Well, here's the thing with Greg Olsen. Yeah, well, he have his moments that he's making it look good, sure. But here's the thing. He talks a lot of crap. And that's the thing.
I don't think so. I
think he does.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone else say that he talks crap about the Cowboys. If anything, he says good things about him because he knows what he's talking about.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I wish, you know, honestly, it might not be safe for, you know, for our YouTube audience. But if I put a camera up and put me on, like, watching a game that Greg Olsen was calling, I probably would have cussed at him, even though he can't hear me, probably at least 12 times a game, because there were things that he was saying. I'm like, that's ridiculous. He was saying things. I'm like, well, yeah, duh. Like, no kidding.
That was me and like the rest of the world watching Tom Brady, listening to Tom Brady yesterday. And I mean, either way, we've gotten way off topic. This is not the Tom Brady show. This is a Dallas Cowboys.
And that's
show.
Why he gets paid $300 million. There you go.
There you go. But, I mean, you know, stock down, boring, 2 out of 5 stars. I will say, when I watched the Sunday night football game, Lions and Rams, and we'll touch on that in a little bit too, but, I mean, I ended up saying in my own head, I was like, man, Chris Collinsworth is annoying the crap out of me. At least Tom Brady wasn't annoying. He was just boring. So there's my takes on all of the announcers, all the commentators, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah.
But now that we've talked about that, I do want to talk about some of the other action that happened around the NFL this week one. And of course, we're recording this Monday night, so we don't know what's happening between the 49ers and the Jets. We know that Christian McCaffrey isn't playing in the game. It was a surprise inactive. That's pretty much all we know. But Brandon, it was kind of a strange week for a few teams. Bengals lost to the Patriots. The Saints actually may have a good offense, who, of course, the Cowboys play them next week. They dropped 40, almost 50 on the Panthers.
Bryce
Young still looks bad. The Panthers look really bad.
Yeah, they
still what were some of your biggest surprises from this first week?
I mean, you alluded to it. Like, the Patriots look like a competent football team. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he did what I thought he could do, which managed the game. I mean, Joe Burrow did not look great. Ja'Marr Chase didn't look great either. I mean, the Bengals, they were discombobulated. Like, it was not pretty. I don't think anybody, you know, I know we're not a betting show, but, you know, if, you know, for those folks out there that do that, I don't think many people were taking the Patriots in that game. I'm just saying it was one of those games where you're like, yeah, the Bengals, Joe Burrow, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to be fine. That to me was probably the biggest surprise. But you know what was also a really big surprise? Sam Darnold was balling out against the Giants. I mean, I know it's the Giants. I get it. They suck too. But Sam Darnold, I think he started the game like 12 for 12, I think it was. Oh, like, yeah. He looked good. And I think that's hard for me to say about Sam Darnold. Yeah.
The Giants, I think the Giants are just that bad.
The Giants aren't that bad. And they're going to probably get defense, the first pick this coming year.
Their defense was terrible. Their offense was even worse. I mean, they just traded for Brian Burns to beef up their defense. And you can't make Sam Darnold look even average.
That was I mean, looking at the ticker, you know, looking at the scoreboard here, and I'll say, you know, another game that was intriguing. I really enjoyed that Texans Colts game. That was a fun game. CJ Stroud was doing what he does, you know, and somebody who has I bought a lot of shares of Anthony Richardson in fantasy football, so I'm very happy on my return. That he threw some darts like that, that first touchdown to was it Pierce? That was a heck of a touchdown. Oh, and then Ashton Doolin, that was a nice touchdown pass as well. It was a close game. I mean, looking at, you know, 29-27. And here's the other thing. I'll throw one out there, another one out there. Kirk Cousins looked old. He looked old. Like,
it looked like he's coming off an Achilles injury.
Dude, like, I get T.J. Watt and the Steelers' defense are really good. But, like, Kirk Cousins looked like he was afraid to get hit. Like, it was weird. Like, that's not Kirk Cousins that I know, because Kirk Cousins normally he's a pretty tough guy. I get it. He's coming off the injury, like you alluded to. I get that. As somebody who bought a lot of shares of Kyle Pitts in fantasy football, he did get a touchdown. So Kyle Pitts, you know, I'm thankful for that. But
Bijan Robinson got a lot of carries, got a lot of catches. I have both of them in fantasy. I felt good.
Yeah, as someone who's I've been a big fan of Kirk Cousins. Even back when he was a Commanders quarterback. Like I always thought he was a good player. Like, I watched him at Michigan State. I always thought he would do something in the NFL. He was one of those guys that I felt like he was a good college player, but he was going to be better in the NFL, which ended up being that way. So I've always rooted for Cousins. You know, he's just a good player. So I hope he turns it around, but week one was not a good game for him. And the Steelers, Justin Fields is not ready to be an NFL quarterback again. So I think he's relegated to getting back to the bench. And I'm curious to see how the Steelers offense with the great receiving receiver George Pickens. I wonder how they do with Russell Wilson. I guess we'll see soon enough.
Yeah. Well, and the Steelers, I mean, the Steelers won, what was the score? 18-10.
Yeah, they didn't score a touchdown.
All field goals.
Chris Boswell,
unreal. Whoever had Chris Boswell in fantasy, hats off to you. What a first week. How about the Bears and Titans, though? That was I don't think that was like a marquee game. Maybe not a lot of people watching that one. But for those who weren't, the Titans went up really – they went up big early on in this game. Yeah. Looked like they were just going to like dog walk the Bears. And Caleb Williams, for that matter, had a horrible – debut. I don't even think he broke 100 yards passing. Very, very poor game for him, but he also didn't turn the ball over. So there's that. And then all of a sudden, the Titans' offense, mainly quarterback Will Levis, just completely melted down.
He was going to the ground. He just throws the ball like that.
He was getting roped around for a sack. He tosses the ball up in the air. Tyreek Stevenson picked it off, brought it back for a pick six. It was a weird game, but I think like the Titans looked like a team that, as long as Will Levis can play within the structure of that offense, they're going to be a tough team for whoever's playing them. And the Bears, all the talk this offseason with the Bears was like, oh, Caleb Williams, he's the savior. He's going to lead the Bears to relevance. He was probably the second worst player on the field for them. Their kick returner, Velus Jones Jr., probably gets the worst award. He had a kick where he dropped it on the ground, went through his hands, then he kicked it and like forward towards the Titans, and they recovered it. But Caleb Williams was terrible in this game, and the Bears managed to win. Great running game, great defense. That's an interesting outcome for week one of Caleb Williams' experience.
You know what? And that's the thing too. Like, you know, it's not going to be all the rainbows and unicorns for Caleb Williams. He's a, you know, people forget he's a rookie. So like, you know, even though his stat line was not great, he did not play great. The last number one pick quarterback to win their debut, I believe, was not Derek Carr, but David Carr with the Houston Texans way back in 2002. So guess what? So at the end of the day, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in the last 22 years that have not won their openers. And guess what?
David Carr had a great career, didn't he?
He's the guy that gets he's still getting sacked, I feel like. You know, even now, years later, the poor guy's offensive line did not do him any wonders. And he was always on the ground. So, you know, I think he would have had a better career if he wasn't sacked like a million times. But, at the end of the day, I think Caleb Williams, there's a lot to like about him. You know, we'll see what happens with Romain Odunze. I know he had the injury. I know it's like they're looking at like week to week at this point as of recording. So, that could be a blow depending on where that situation goes, because obviously that's a – you know, that's TBD because it's only Monday. You know, we're recording this on a Monday night. So it's, you know, it's, we'll see how that plays out. But it wouldn't be good if Caleb Williams doesn't have Odunze, because he was one of their other top 10 picks this past year, anyways.
Yeah. I do think it's kind of funny, though, like thinking about these rookie quarterbacks. Caleb Williams comes out, plays awful, wins. Second overall pick, Jaden Daniels, he had a really good game.
Yeah,
he had like 160 something passing yards, like 80 something rushing yards, ran in for two touchdowns. Commanders lost, and
Baker Mayfield
had the much better game. And of course, speaking about the Commanders, Dan Quinn, his first game as a head coach since leaving the Cowboys, his defense gave up 37 points to the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield continued to bake and had a great game. Meanwhile, the Cowboys defense goes and has the game that they had. Not to be petty. This is one of those episodes where I wish Chris was here, because he's the Dan Quinn fan. It looks like the Cowboys are doing just fine without Dan Quinn so far. We'll see how that continues. But all in all, pretty exciting first week. I think, aside from the Eagles winning on Friday in Brazil, it's weird. Isn't it weird seeing Kellen Moore with Eagles gear on?
Yeah, it makes me vomit my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not great.
But hey, Cowboys are doing just fine without him too. So not to say we don't
need
him.
They are. But I mean, I'll say this too. I wish Chris was on here, but yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield looked like an all-pro. So against Dan Quinn's vaunted defense. So I'm curious to see two things: what Dan Quinn does with that defense going forward, and if Baker Mayfield, and on the other side of it, and what Baker Mayfield does the rest of the year. Because Baker Mayfield, 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards passing, 24 of 30. That's a pretty good day at the office for Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what a Dan Quinn defense will get you sometimes. Pivoting away from the rest of the NFL, though, of course, the biggest thing to come out of the Cowboys game, and probably the only real negative from this game, was the fact that Jake Ferguson seemed to get hurt late in the game. Looked real bad. He was clutching his knee. Everybody kind of feared the worst. We've gotten an update since then that he's essentially week to week. He has an MCL sprain. He has a bone bruise. There's not really like a very strict timetable here. They did say that it was reported that there's hope that he might play this next week against the Saints. I feel like that's Like, that's a little ambitious. But I mean, if there's any guy on this team that is going to do that quick and play that quickly, it's Jake Ferguson, because he's got that dog in him. But also, I don't think you necessarily need Jake Ferguson, especially in week two. But either way, I mean, that is good news that it's not a serious thing, may only miss a week. Ferguson didn't necessarily have the best game against Cleveland, really just a byproduct of the way that they were calling this game. But Brandon, certainly good news from what we've heard already on Jake Ferguson.
Well, yeah, and I mean, not to rain on the parade a little bit, but I mean, I did see that Patrick Nosey Walker of the mothership at DallasCowboys.com. I mean, it seems promising that Jake Ferguson, you know, they're thinking he has a weird outside shot of playing against the Saints this week, but Nosey did put it out there. He did put it out there on social media that it's certainly possible that they treat this week to week and see where it goes. And it's not a guarantee that it happens this way, but there's a possibility he could be out till week eight. It just, that's the way it could be, because you with these knees, the knee injuries, like it's very tricky. Every situation is different. Bone bruises are not good. MCL sprains are not good. Obviously they're not, it's not a tear, which is a good, that's the biggest plus, but you have to see how Jake it affects him, you know, performing. Like if it's better to let him sit, then maybe you let him sit for a little bit. And then the other side of it, it all depends on what you're going to get from Luke Schoonmaker, Brevin Spanford, and then John Stevens Jr., who was not available this week. If those three can, you know, do a decent job of, you know, filling in for Jake while he's out, it might make the Cowboys' decision easier to just let Fergie get back to 100% or 110%, for example, where he's feeling fantastic, before you bring him back. There's going to be a lot of dominoes that are going to fall here between the Saints game and going forward. I assume the Cowboys will be very cautious because it is one of their premier players. So I don't want them to rush him back too soon where he could re-aggravate it, or he could tear his ACL, God forbid. You know, I'd rather play it cautious, and it would be easier of a decision where they can kind of push the date back of his return a little bit if the tight end room can show enough going forward. That's what it's going to come down to. If the tight end room is struggling, like Schoonmaker, you know, isn't doing what he's supposed to do, John Stevens, you know, maybe he's not performing, Brevin Spanford, maybe he's not performing well, Jake might get pushed back sooner than later. I just don't know if that's a good thing at this point. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to do all that, but I just hope for the best for Jake. And at the end of the day, let's let him get to 100% before we even put him back on the field. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. There's really no reason to rush it. And Mike McCarthy has been pretty good about that since coming to Dallas. He does not rush people back from injuries.
Nope.
If anything, he's overly cautious with them. So if Ferguson does play this week, I have confidence that it's because he truly is ready to go. Mike McCarthy also said on Monday, when talking about who's next in line for more reps at tight end, he said, one guy, first one comes to mind is Hunter Lipke. We saw that a little bit against Cleveland, is the fullback Hunter Lipke, who's cross-trained with the tight end group this year, has done that in college as well. He played a lot of tight end in this game, lining up as an extra blocker. And he had a catch in this first game too. So that might be something to look forward to, is even more Hunter Lipke usage as well. Of course, Luke Schoonmaker will likely get the first opportunity of being like that traditional tight end. But I mean, I don't think that they're really, you know, going into this game, this next game, like, it's not like, oh my God, we can't win this unless we have Jake Ferguson. So there's no reason to really rush it. Having said that, I do want to just take a little bit of a look ahead at their next game, which will be their home opener, playing against the New Orleans Saints. And back in the offseason, the three of us went through their schedule, the Cowboys schedule, and predicted each game. And all three of us picked a win for this one in week two. All three of us said some version of, I'm not scared of the Saints, I'm not worried about them. Brandon, are you worried about them? They just put up, you know, 40, I think it was 47 points on the Panthers. And granted, the Panthers have had a good defense the last couple of years. Ejiro Averro is their defensive coordinator. He's highly regarded. They did just trade Brian Burns away, of course, but Derek Carr looked great. They have a new offensive coordinator who runs the Kyle Shanahan offense, came over from San Francisco. Clint Kubiak is the guy now, and they looked much better in that offense. Does that scare you, or are you just like, that's all about the Panthers being awful?
It's all about the Panthers being awful. I mean, that's the Panthers are going to – I mean, I would have said coming into week one, arguably one of the worst teams in football. I would say the Patriots were there, but Patriots, they – we'll see if it's a one-week wonder. We'll see how they do the next week with Gerard Mayo, you know, steering the ship there for the Patriots. But, yeah, the Saints, you know, looking at the numbers here, I mean, you know, Derek Carr had a very efficient game, 82.6% completion percentage, 200 yards. You know, three touchdowns, no picks. He's a good quarterback, but when he goes against a really good pass rush, he tends to make mistakes. And last time I checked, the Cowboys have a pretty decent pass rush. So I think we're going to see Derek Carr come back to earth a little bit and be that guy who makes mistakes that, you know, you're like, why is he throwing that? And it's because the Cowboys pass rush is in his grill. I mean, Alvin Kamara had a decent game as well. I think Father Time hasn't caught up to Alvin Kamara yet. He looked pretty good. Jamal Williams, you know, he did some mop up duty. He looked decent. You know, I guess the curiosity for me is how are they gonna? I want to see how Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave do. That's the other piece of it as well. I'm curious to see how our corners are going to match up. That to me is super. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm not really worried about Diggs. Diggs will cover his side of the field, no problem. I want to see how Caitlin Carson does, you know, next week, you know, in week two, because he put on a great performance in week one, but he's a rookie. Rookies can make mistakes. They probably will. I want to see how he builds off of week one, going into week two. And if he shows what he did against the Browns is not just, it's not a blip on the screen. It's how he is going forward, which I feel that is his personality. That is his skill set going forward. Then we're going to be in good shape, but I'm curious the defense. I mean, looking at the defense, they don't really scare me, dude. They beat up on a team that's not very good. Bryce Young, you know, I know it's year two, but I think the Panthers are regretting not taking CJ Stroud. I'm just putting it out there. Bryce Young, I don't want to label him a bust yet because that's not fair to him. He's only been in the league 1 year and one game, but the returns are not great on the investment. So comparing Bryce Young to Dak Prescott will, I think he's going to shred apart this New Orleans Saints defense. And I think you're going to see in the box score, I think you'll see a lot higher of a passing figure than we saw against the Browns. I just have a good feeling that CD is going to get a big number. I feel like this is another game where Brandon Cooks gets a deep ball. I think Brandon Cooks has a good game. And I'm really hoping that Jalen Tolbert can do something because I didn't see Jalen Tolbert at all this past week. So, you know, and
he had a catch. Cook,
to me, nothing. Like that. Like Jalen Brooks, Chris's guy, nice play. You know, he made the highlight reel. So good for Jalen Brooks. You know, I think to me, Tolbert did as much as Ryan Flournoy did, and Ryan Flournoy was on the inactives this past week. So I want to see more from Jalen Tolbert. I think he has it in him, but at this point, I haven't seen anything from Jalen Tolbert to make me back off of what I've said all offseason about Jalen Tolbert. So hopefully Jalen Tolbert can show us why the Cowboys took him in the third round just a few years ago.
I mean, to be fair, this was not the kind of game in week one where Jalen Tolbert would have a big day. CeeDee Lamb barely had a big day. It wasn't even a big day by his standards. And honestly, I don't even think it will be this week either, because you may not be scared of the Saints defense. I am not scared, but concerned about the Saints defense. This has been a top 10 defense for quite a few years now. Dennis Allen, their head coach and their defensive play caller, he runs a tight ship. That defense is really good. Cameron Jordan is one of the most underrated defensive players in the NFL. They have some talent on that defense. It's a well-oiled machine. Of course, you know, Cowboys have a great offense. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, also a well-oiled machine. One interesting note about the Saints and their offense, of course, one is, you know, when Mike Zimmer was hired, initially there was a lot of talk, data that shows historically Mike Zimmer's defense has done well against Shanahan-style offenses. Last week, they were facing it in Kevin Stefanski, who kind of comes from that Shanahan tree. Of course, Stefanski had been the offensive coordinator and before that a position coach under Mike Zimmer in Minnesota for quite some time. So they had some familiarity there. Looks like it went well for Zimmer knowing who he was calling the game against. This week, like I said, Clint Kubiak is the offensive coordinator in New Orleans. The last time he was an offensive coordinator was 2021, also with the Vikings. He was Mike Zimmer's last offensive coordinator before he got fired. And before he was the offensive coordinator, he was the QB coach in Minnesota, son of Gary Kubiak, who was on staff there, was also a major mentor for Kevin Stefanski. So this is now 2 weeks in a row where Mike Zimmer will be facing a Shanahan-style offense against a play caller that he knows well and has been the boss of for a few seasons. So that's something that I think is interesting and probably bodes well for the Cowboys. But I do have a feeling Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. Like I said, you picked the Cowboys last time around. Now that you've seen both of these teams play a game, are you sticking by that prediction for the Cowboys to win in week two?
Yeah, I still think they're going to win. I think they're going to win by double digits. That's where I'm at with the Cowboys versus the Saints. And like the Saints game to me, like don't buy into it too much because the Panthers are just atrocious. They're going to be one of the worst football teams in the league this year. They're going to be battling the Giants for, the worst pick or the worst team in the league. The Patriots will probably be in that if they get back to earth. But I don't buy into too much. I think the Cowboys winning against a team that went 8-1 at home last year with the Cleveland Browns and way the Cowboys did that against the Cleveland Browns in the dog pound, the Cowboys are they're very impressive. I think you know everything you mentioned. I think bodes well for Coach Zimmer's defense, and I think Mike McCarthy will have a great scheme dialed up. And you mentioned Cam Jordan. I'll just say this. I think, and I think we all can agree, you know, Myles Garrett is better than Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan is still a really good football player, but Myles Garrett didn't completely wreck the game as much as people thought he would. He still got some stats, but Mike McCarthy in the offense, you know, you could see Dak rolling the other way. Like they were scheming away from Myles Garrett. And I think what they'll do is if Cam Jordan becomes a little bit of a problem, Mike McCarthy and that offense, that you know, they'll get it situated where they will run plays away from Cam Jordan if need be. But I'm not concerned about it because Myles Garrett didn't wreck the game for Dallas, and I think he's a better player than a really good Cam Jordan anyways. So by that metric, I'm just gonna say the Cowboys are gonna pull it out by double figures.
That's big talk. I don't know if I'm quite willing to go there and say win by double digits, but I do think the Cowboys will win this game, which does transition us into our last little segment for this episode, which we're going to start doing weekly, is going around and making predictions for all these games. And I will be keeping track of everybody's record so that we know who's the best at picking these games. Of course, like we said a few times, we're recording this Monday night. We don't know what's happening in the Monday night football game. So we're going to start with picking that game. Of course, it's the 49ers, as we know, without Christian McCaffrey, going against the Jets with Aaron Rodgers coming back. Brandon, just, you know, real quick, who are you taking in this game? With us having not seen this game, it's, I think, like maybe 5 minutes into the game. Who's winning?
Oh, it's probably going to be the Niners. I mean, I think the Niners are going to win that game. I mean, you never could count against Aaron Rodgers, but I think the Niners are a supremely talented football team. I think they're the one team that I still, I still think they're going to give the Cowboys issues going forward, and the Cowboys are going to have to slay the beast. So until that happens, I got to go with the San Francisco 49ers until proven otherwise. I know the Jets are flying high. They're jetting. They're jet flying at this point. But I think the Niners are going to win. I'm not going to give you a score because I think it'll be closer than the experts think. I think it's going to be a close game. But I'll take the Niners.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I'm taking the Niners in this one too. Running backs don't make that much of a difference, even Christian McCaffrey. 49ers offense works well without Christian McCaffrey. It's going to continue to work well. Obviously, he's the best running back on their team, and they're better with him, but they're still going to be able to win this game. Now, of course, with us both saying 49ers, the Jets will probably win, and we're going to look like idiots on Tuesday morning as people are listening to this. But moving forward to Thursday night, first game of week two, we get Buffalo and Miami. Both of whom won in week one. Who you got between these two?
So, this is a tough matchup because I think both teams are going to be very, very competitive this year. And they showed that this past week, obviously with a 1-0 record. I can't bet against Josh Allen and the Bills right now. Josh Allen, I know people joke about like he's probably going to have a turnover at least once in the game. Like that's Josh Allen. But Josh Allen does Superman things. And he's one of those guys, he's just going to will his team to victory. And again, that's going to be one of those games where I think whoever has the ball last wins the game. I just think it's going to be another close game, but I'll take the Bills.
I don't agree on that it'll be that close, but I do think the Bills win this one. I think, we've seen the Dolphins under Mike McDaniel. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of talent. They'll have some fireworks. But they just don't step up against the good teams. Buffalo, until proven otherwise, they're still a good team. I'm taking Buffalo in that one. They've pretty much had the Dolphins number last few years, and I think that continues. Moving on to the Sunday games, we've got Ravens and Raiders. Of course, Raiders led by Antonio Pierce. We're both fans of him here at the show. Major, major fans.
I know you.
am I wrong to assume we're both taking the Ravens here?
You're not crazy on that assessment. I'm gonna take the Ravens as well.
I figured that would be an easy bet. Yeah. Ravens will probably be, I don't know what the line is. I'm sure they're heavy favorites. Also, I'm sure heavy favorites is the other game, the next one after this, Chargers versus Panthers.
Oh well, you heard what I said earlier. I think you know the answer to that one. We're gonna put the Chargers. Chargers are getting the dub on that one.
Yeah, that's another one. I feel confident about the Chargers there.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Bryce Young surprises us. That would be something. Next up, we've got the Buccaneers and the Lions. So you talked before about what's Baker Mayfield going to do next. He's going to get his kneecaps bitten off. That's what's going to happen.
That game's in Detroit, right?
I think so, yeah.
If that game's in Detroit, I gotta go. I gotta tip my hand to the I gotta go to the Lions. I think the Lions, in their dojo, so to speak, they're nasty. They're gonna be biting kneecaps off and everything. So, I think it's gonna be a good game, competitive game. But I do think the Lions are gonna pull it out. I think this is the game where it's like whoever's the home team is gonna win. So in this case, I'll go with the Lions.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's interesting how the Lions' first two games have been rematches of their playoff games from a year ago. So far, of course, they beat the Rams in overtime this last week. I agree. I think the Lions are taking this one. I think they're just the better team. They've got, just more talent around the board. Although I do think the Buccaneers are solid, but I think the Lions are going to be the favorite in this one. I think it makes sense to take them. Just to prove that I'm not just copying all your picks because we've been in alignment so far, I'm going to go next on this one. We've got the Colts and the Packers. Of course, Packers, they're going to be without Jordan Love for a few weeks. He suffered that injury. Malik Willis is right now their top backup. Malik Willis, not good. I don't know a nicer way to say it. Yeah. I'm taking the Colts here.
Yeah, we're going to be in alignment on this one too. it's the Colts. I mean, Anthony Richardson is just he's just a beast. He's a stud. If Jordan Love was healthy, I would probably go with the Packers because Jordan Love, I know you're not a Jordan Love believer. We've talked about that on social media. I am. I'm a big fan of Jordan Love, and I wish him the best in his recovery. But because Malik Willis is behind center for the Packers, not a chance. I think the Colts are going to wallop the Packers.
They ought to wallop them. If they don't, if they don't win that one by double digits, there's going to be some questions in Indianapolis for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Next game we've got is the Browns, who we just had the misfortune of watching them, versus the Jaguars. I'm taking the Jaguars here. I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence. They were looking good for a while against Miami. Defense is still kind of figuring it out under a new coordinator. But I'm a believer in Doug Peterson. I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking the Jaguars for this one. Are you going to copy me?
Yeah, I mean, I have to copy on this one because if Chris was on here, it'd be music to his ears because we all know he's a big Clemson guy, and Trevor Lawrence, as we all know, played at Clemson.
Last good quarterback they had.
he's a believer. I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I like him. I like Travis Etienne. I know Travis Etienne had that fumble against the Finns this past week, which I think turned the tide just a little bit. I like what the Jags have. They have a really dynamic Brian Thomas. The receiver is really good. I think they got a good unit there. I think the Jags are going to win that one.
Yeah, that's a solid pick. Next, we've got 49ers and Vikings. And keep in mind, a year ago, the Vikings beat San Francisco with a backup quarterback. Here they are playing again, Minnesota, again with a backup quarterback. Who are you taking?
I said it before. I said it just a few minutes ago. I can't bet against the Niners at this stage of the game. And here's the thing, too. The Niners know Sam Darnold pretty well because he did spend some time there. I think the Niners are going to be ready to go, and they know what Sam Darnold does well and what he doesn't do well. So I do think the Niners are going to take care of business against the Vikes.
I think that's fair. Next up, we got Seahawks and the Patriots. Two teams that are 1-0, kind of a surprise. Both of them in year one of a rebuild. We already talked. We didn't expect the Patriots to win week one. I don't think anybody did. Do you think they're going 2-0?
No, I think the Seahawks defense is going to be I think they're very good. I think the Seahawks defense will be probably a top 10 defense by the end of the year. I do think they're that good, especially in the back end. They got a lot of great players. Like Woolen is very talented, for example. Like he's just a really talented player. And Geno Smith, I watched some of the highlights. People were like, oh my God, Geno can run. Did you not watch him in West Virginia? The guy ran the ball pretty well at West Virginia. So
that was forever ago, though.
I know, but Geno, people are acting like Geno runs like Peyton Manning. Jeez Louise. Like Geno's got wheels still. And he looked good on that run. I think the Seahawks are going to win this game. What say you?
I think the Seahawks probably win this one. I underestimated the Patriots in week one, so that makes me a little nervous to underestimate them again. But Seahawks have the better team on paper, and they should win this one.
Yeah.
Next one, we've got the Jets against the Titans. I know where I'm going with this one, but I'm going to let you go first because I feel like this might be maybe is the one where we might finally disagree on who we're picking.
I mean, I'm not betting against Aaron Rodgers or against the Titans, so I'm going to go with the Jets.
I figured that was where you were going because I'm taking the Titans.
Hey!
I believe in Tennessee. This defense is legit. They looked great against the Bears. And Tony Pollard looked like vintage Tony Pollard. They've got Tyjae Spears, who's a really good complement to him in that Tennessee offense. They've got good weapons around Will Levis. They just need him to, like – just hold it together. Just keep it together for 60 minutes. I think this was a learning experience for him in week one. I think he'll put together a good game and upset the Jets. here in week two.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't know if I know you're not a wrestling fan, but you know, there's a lot of talk about I believe in Joe Hendry going around. I believe in Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. I think they're going to be really good this year.
That means nothing to me, but I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers because, as we all know, he's a liar and a fraud. So.
I know you don't like Aaron Rodgers, so I knew where you were going. I knew you were going to pick the Titans just off of that alone, because I do know our pre-show talks. I know how that goes.
Next, we've got an NFC East matchup. First NFC East divisional game, Giants and Commanders. I feel like we know we're both taking the Commanders, right?
Yeah. The Giants will be lucky to win a game this year.
Yeah, it's going to be rough sledding for them.
Yeah. And I'm all for it.
chalk up a win for Dan Quinn.
Yes. And Arizona State, former Arizona State quarterback Jaden Daniels as well.
Yeah. We're hanging a Heisman banner one of these days for Jaden Daniels. We're counting him, okay?
You should. Why not? I mean, he was part of the family. He still is part of the family.
Next, we've got Rams and Cardinals. They're both 0-1. They're both barely 0-1. Rams lost in overtime to the Lions with, like, their sixth and seventh string tackles playing. Cardinals led the Bills for most of the game, and then Josh Allen went supernova. This is a tough one. I'll go first. I'm taking the Rams just because I believe in Sean McVay. Matt Stafford is Matt Stafford. I think it's going to be a tight one, but Sean McVay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go against it. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you already mentioned two out of the three names I was going to mention when it comes to the Rams. I think it's the – I mean, I feel bad for Puka Nacua with the injury. He's going to be out on the IR for a minimum of four weeks. That sucks. Like, as somebody who bought some shares of Puka Nacua in fantasy – that's unfortunate. But what we did see was Stafford and Cooper Kupp, they looked fantastic on Sunday night. And I think they're going to continue that. I think Cooper Kupp is going to have if you have him in fantasy, you're going to be very happy this coming week. I think he has a monster game. And I have to slam my fist on the board for the Rams.
There you go. Copying me again, man. How lame.
Hey, we got one different one. We'll see.
Maybe we'll differ on this one because we got the Steelers and the Broncos. Assuming Russell Wilson plays in this one after missing, being a surprise miss last week, it would be a chance for redemption, Russell Wilson against the team that paid him a whole lot of money and then cut him. Of course, the Broncos also didn't look that good. Bo Nix making his NFL debut. He played like a lot of people expected Bo Nix to play. This is going to be kind of a slop fest, but who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to look at it this way. What defense is better? The Steelers.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, they have TJ Watt, right? Yeah, that guy's pretty good. So I think I'm just going to call it out this way, and this is painful for me. So shout out to my boy Josh. He's a big Steelers fan. We talk a lot of smack all the time. I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah, I gotta go with the Steelers in this one. That's against my better judgment, but I can't bet against TJ Watt versus Bo Nix at this point. You know, that's just the way I look at it. So Steelers are gonna win. I think you're going in that direction as well. Am I wrong?
I am going in that direction because yeah, I mean I don't know what Russell Wilson's gonna look like as quarterback for the Steelers. Honestly, I don't even know what Justin Fields will look like at quarterback for the Steelers if he's the one who goes. I know what Bo Nix is going to look like going up against that Steelers defense, TJ Watt and everybody else. I also know that Sean Payton is another fraud, just like Aaron Rodgers. His scheme hasn't been fresh in – his scheme – the last time that his offense was fresh was when Geno Smith was running the ball at West Virginia. That's how long it's been since this guy was actually a good coach. No, I do not believe in Sean Payton. I do not believe in Bo Nix. I don't even really believe in the Steelers, but for this week, I believe in the Steelers. They're going to get the win.
I believe in TJ Watt over anything else there.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
He's so good.
How about Bengals and Chiefs? Obviously, the Bengals were the team that got upset by the Patriots, but they always start slow. They've been bad in week one every year with Joe Burrow. Are they going to go 0-2, though?
They are going 0-2. I think the Chiefs are going to take care of business. Here's the thing I'll say about the Bengals real quick. They're going to start 0-2, but they're going to do some damage later in the year. You just mentioned it. I'll use a horse racing analogy. They don't always get out of the gates very well, but they're strong closers. I do think the Bengals will dig out of the hole, and we'll be talking about this Bengals team being very good in, I would say, end of October, early November. I think it's going to be a slow start, a rough start, but I think Ja'Marr Chase will get his bag. They'll get back on the same page. Joe Burrow will be back to being Joe Burrow. I just don't think it's week two. I think maybe week three they may come back and get their first win.
You know, part of me really wants to pick the Bengals. Part of me really feels like the Bengals are going to win this one. Then I remember Xavier Worthy and what he did in week one.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's Chiefs. Chiefs are going to win this. If the Chiefs don't win this, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand then. Like, if
I guess you won't be worthy of making picks next week. Oh,
there we go.
There it is. Sorry, I didn't do it.
No, that was pretty good. I'm disappointed I didn't come up with it myself.
Usually you're the master at these things.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's week one. We're all shaking off the rust, you know.
Facts.
But we have one more game to pick because we're going to leave the Monday Night Football game for next week because, again, we record Monday nights and we'll get to – it'll just be a recurring thing where, like, we pick the game that's already happened by the time people hear us pick it. then they can mock us in real life time as they're listening.
Yeah.
But last pick for this episode, Sunday Night Football, Chicago Bears, Houston Texans, Caleb Williams, this year's first-round pick versus last year's second overall pick. CJ Stroud should have been the first overall pick.
I agree with that.
Who are you going with, CJ or Caleb?
Oh, it's CJ. Easy. That's the easiest pick right there. That's
the easiest versus whoever the Panthers are playing any given week.
Yeah, I mean the Texans are so good. Like they were already good last year, and then they add Stephon Diggs into the mix. And CJ Stroud is just going to continue to get better and better. Like I have a good feeling the Texans are going to be so good this year. So I think Caleb Williams is going to he's going to lay another stinker, and I think the Houston Texans are going to win.
We disagree again.
Oh,
I'm taking the Bears for the upset. I think Caleb Williams is going to have a great game. I think he's going to go off in this one. I think the Bears defense is legit. I also have been talking a few times this offseason about I think the Texans are going to take a little bit of a step back this year. I don't think they're going to be downright bad, but I don't think they're going to be like this just absolute like sensation playoff lock. I think CJ Stroud is going to have a couple of struggles here and there. I think defense isn't, you know, quite that great, and they play in a division that got better everywhere up and down. All three teams around him got better. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a come down to reality and reset your expectations for the Texans. I think that starts in week two. I think that starts in week two with Caleb Williams having a signature moment. Bears start 2-0. They get the win. We'll see. We'll see next week if I'm right.
I trust in D'Amico Ryans. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair. I don't. Nothing against D'Amico. I think he's a perfectly good coach. I think the Texans are going to have a little bit of a rude awakening this season, and I think it starts in week two.
Okay.
But that's it for us with picking these games, and we will be back next week, and we will have our answers as to what our records are. We're going to get some picks from Chris, too, so that we can either praise or mock him for how right he was on these games, too. And we're going to have a whole lot of fun, ideally coming back from yet another Cowboys win. But until next week, signing off for the Writer's Block, David Hellman, Brandon Clements. And we're going to change it up, the sign off for this one. But now that the season has started, we got to go with the classic for the Writer's Block. How about them Cowboys?